are on the wall. I'm going to focus on the interludes in the book of Revelation. And first let me just say what I think is fairly obvious in the book of Revelation. There's a chronological flow to the book of Revelation. And even if you look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, the Lord speaks to John and says, write the things which you have seen. The things which he has seen is the vision. So he's to write this vision, and then the things which are, that would relate to the churches, seven letters to seven churches, and the things that will take place after this. And that would then relate to the things that will be. And that would include verses or chapters 4 through 22, the tribulation, millennial kingdom, and the new heavens and new earth. And again, the theme of Revelation is judgment. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of him as the Savior. I think of him as love and kindness and mercy and grace. And I think of him giving himself for our sins and saving us. And the flip side of that is the judgment of God. And I'll give you my opinion about something, since Matthew is giving his opinion about things tonight. This is opinion Sunday night, I think. I don't think wrath is an attribute of God. I think holiness is an attribute of God, and righteousness is an attribute of God. Wrath is what happens when you bring disobedience and sin into God's presence. And the response to that is the wrath of God. If it helps you, you ought to think of God as a sovereign surgeon. And when this sovereign surgeon sees a cancer in his creation, he is wrathful to remove that, wrathful to pour out whatever it takes for him to wipe it out. And that's really what the wrath of God is. It's because God is a holy God, and because he is a righteous God. When man turned and walked away, what he's doing is he's walking away from the light. He's walking away from the truth. He's walking away from the God who gives him life, who gives him the breath that he breathes, who gives him spiritual life, eternal life, every facet of life. And he walks away from all of that into darkness. And there's a rebellion that has to be resolved. And the way that that is resolved is with this judgment. And in one sense, the book of Revelation is shocking to us. I think shocking to our sensibilities. But is God really pouring out his wrath? But look at, just for a moment, turn back to Romans chapter 1. And here's a verse of scripture that I think we underestimate. But in Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's the first thing that it says here in this passage. And it's against everything that is contrary to God. This is God's creation. And when mankind brings something into God's creation that is damaging and dangerous and contrary, it's required of God to resolve it. And I'm not trying to put a happy face on the judgment, because the judgments that are mentioned in the Bible are awful in the negative sense. When you think of the word awful, think of that word can be used in a positive sense. In some of the hymns, we think of the awful place where we meet with God. That means full of awe. It can be used in that positive sense, like we go, whoa, this is full of awe as I stand in the presence of God. But mostly today, the word awful is used in that negative sense, that it is something is, oh, that's awful. And that also is full of awe, but full of awe in that negative sense. And the wrath of God is full of awe. It's awful. But what is important to see is that the judgment of God and the awful judgment of God is traceable to the character of God himself. And God makes that very clear in the book of Revelation when you come to the presentation of the judgments that are going to take place. And when you look at this theme of judgment, when Jesus Christ came as the Savior, people could shout him down, they could make fun of him, they could mock him, they could take him and crucify him. And you see none of that when he comes again. When he comes again, he comes as the king. And he comes in judgment over his creation. And one of the reasons why people put the being caught up to meet the Lord at the beginning of the tribulation is because the Bible says that we as Christians are not destined for wrath because God took our wrath at the cross. But God is going to pour out his wrath upon this evil world and this world system and false religion. In fact, he's pouring out his wrath upon the whole of the universe, because when man sinned, the whole of the universe was cursed. So we see this, the aspects of judgment when you look at the book of Revelation. And the interludes, and you'll notice I put at the top a definition of an interlude, it's a pause in the narrative. It's a pause in the narrative to give greater understanding of the whole. And these pauses in the narrative are in somewhat chronological order, but not necessarily in perfect order, because we take these things and we try to put them in place. But if you're reading the book of Revelation, it's very helpful to have these interludes marked out. And it's as if the book of Revelation is about 21 judgments. And you've seen the chart where I put the 21 judgments. You have the seven seal judgments, the seventh seal judgment, seven trumpets appear. So the seventh seal judgment is the seven trumpets. And when you see the seventh trumpet sounding, then the seven angels appear and they take seven bowls. And so that's the whole of the tribulation. But throughout the tribulation, you have stopping points. In fact, it starts with a stop. It starts with an explanation of what is taking place here. And then you have other things that are happening, because you see God is judging a lot of things. It's not just pouring out his wrath upon mankind, which is primarily what the focus is in those judgments, but it's pouring out his judgment upon false religion. It's pouring out his judgment upon the kingdoms of this world. It's pouring out his judgment upon sinful man. And so there are other parts of taking place in this tribulation period of time that there's a stopping point to stop in the narrative that is flowing in judgment and say, let me explain something to you so you'll have a better understanding of everything that's taking place. Well, we start with one of those. And we start in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1, and it's actually chapter 4 and 5. Because God wants the world to understand, and eventually they will understand, that what is taking place is a judgment that comes from heaven. It comes from God. Now, I don't know exactly how people on earth are going to know it at that time, but eventually they will know it because they recognize that their battle is with God. Perhaps they find Bibles on the earth and read them, and read in Revelation and say, wait a second, the things that are taking place because of the God of this world and his judgment that is placed upon the earth. But I want us to go and look at these, the first interim at least, because it's very important to God that we understand where this tribulation is coming from. And the devastation that is awesome, but the devastation that is upon the earth because God is acting. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't believe in God because if there was a God, he would punish evil. He wouldn't let evil thrive in this world. I say, that's exactly the message you're going to get when you come to the Great Tribulation. And that's why I think that the world, as awful as things are taking place in our world today, I think things are only going to get worse before the Lord comes. The Lord can come 1,000 years from now. The Lord can come whenever he determines to come. I don't know when the Lord is coming. I think it is soon. But I also know that the Lord, when he comes, he wants us and everyone to understand that he comes to set things straight, to carry out wrath and judgment that the world deserves, that the world shaking in the face of God saying, you shall not rule over me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care about you at all. This is my world, not your world. God is going to correct that, and he's making it very, very clear. So look at Revelation chapter 4, and I want to read each one of these chapters because the beginning place of this whole story of judgment and the tribulation and all the things that are taking place starts in heaven. And God wants us to know that. So look at, you really see a throne in this first verse. You see a throne, and the two themes of this is a throne and then a scroll in chapter 5. And you say, well, this is two chapters. There's a lot here. I say, there is a lot here because it's emphasized. And before you get into the opening of the judgments, you have to understand this. So it says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Now, there are some people who suggest that they see the rapture in this verse, or these, I don't see the rapture in this verse. I don't think that it's referring to that. It's referring to John being caught up into the heavens to see a vision of the things that are taking place. Is he caught up actually into heaven? We'll find out when we get there, but he's in the Spirit of God, so he has this whole vision that is presented to him. This is John seeing all of this. And the Lord says, I want you to write this down, and I want you to make it clear. But there's a door standing open, and the first voice says to John, come up here, up into heaven, in this vision or in this very real place in which he rises up into heaven. I want to show you the things that must take place after this. And the after this, verse 2, what has taken place before, prior. So you have the seven letters to seven churches that refer to the seven churches. In really discerning, there are a few compliments that are given to these churches, but there are more complaints that are given with reference to them. Because God is in a mode of judgment in this whole passage. He even looking at the seven churches and perhaps looking at the church and the whole of the church age, but looking at the church and saying, there are flaws that are taking place here. There are things that you are doing that they are wrong. And so you have this word of really correction. But God is, in this passage, is speaking out. But now he's going to talk about the wrath of God pouring down from heaven. It's different to see the discernment of God and the correction of God and the discipline of God in the seven churches. But now you're going to see the wrath of God. So it says, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, people always say, well, who is the one sitting on the throne? And I say, God. They want to know God the Father or God the Son. And I say, probably God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit sitting upon the throne. It's probably all there. There's something takes place in the handing of the scroll that makes one think that perhaps this first is referencing to the Father and then the Father and the Son. But it just simply says, he who sat there was like jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there's a rainbow about the throne in appearance like an emerald. The jasper is like a diamond, and the sardius stone is red in appearance. What's interesting about these two stones is this may be a representation of Israel, because the first stone, when the breastplate of the high priest was made, it was made with 12 stones on it. And the first stone was jasper. And it was for Reuben, the first son, and the last stone is the jasper sardius, and it's blood red, and that's for Benjamin. And so this may be a reference from beginning to end with reference to Israel, this representation at the throne. You'll notice when you get to the new heaven and the city of God that comes down, it has references to not only the 12 tribes of Israel, but also the disciples as well. And so this may be just saying, okay, this throne is representative of Israel. And then it goes on to say, and around the throne were 24 thrones, verse 4, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting.